Hello and welcome to Biblical Breadcrumbs, where we've been asking some serious questions about Jesus and about who he is and about how serious the situation is. And so it's time to take a break from that and to go into a little something different. You know, the last couple of weeks have been, or I say couple of weeks, the last couple of episodes have been a little intense in how we kind of deal with and evaluate who Jesus is. It's talking about people who ignore him, about people who disavow him, and so there's that kind of question there of, okay, that's a lot to wrestle with, right? And so Luke lays out this case, and he's been laying out all this evidence of what Jesus says, of what he claims, of what he does, all the eyewitnesses that are testifying to his existence. And he asks you to come to a decision on who Jesus is. Chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11, these are all kind of pictures of people who are wrestling with who Jesus is. And some of them accept, and some of them don't. The vast majority of them don't. The question is still raised to you, what are you going to do with Jesus? But Luke doesn't want to push that forever, right? Luke is a book with 24 chapters. We've still got half the book to go, and so we're going to be dealing with these things for a while yet. And there'll be future decision points in which you're really questioned about that, and in which you really have to solidify on those things. Do you believe in him? Do you not believe in him? Where are you at in this process? There will be questions later, but Luke chapter 12 steps away from that. And Luke chapter 12 recognizes that as much as you need to be challenged to consider who Jesus is right now, you still need to know more about Jesus. And so, on the off chance that this evidence is going to be helpful to you, Luke goes into more of Jesus' teaching and some of his miracles starting in chapter 12. And it'll keep going, and you know, we'll interweave all these themes throughout, but he's going to step away from the intense questioning and instead step into some personal teaching and application and wisdom from Jesus. So we start in chapter 12. I'll be covering the first about probably 12 verses of this chapter. There's a lot in this chapter. I may come back to it in the next episode. Don't really know. For now, I'm going to focus on the first section because it's going to give you, again, just a picture of Jesus's general teaching. Chapter 12, let's start reading in verses 1 through 3. Meanwhile, a crowd of many thousands came together so that they were trampling on one another. He began to say to his disciples first, "Be on your guard against the leaven of the Pharisees," which is hypocrisy. "There is nothing covered that won't be uncovered, nothing hidden that won't be made known. Therefore, what you have heard said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in an ear in private rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops." So what's going here? There's a crowd, a ton of people, right? Many thousands, so maybe multiple tons of people. They're trampling on one another, right? There's so many people that they don't have enough space for it. And so everyone is coming in, and everyone is causing problems and running over each other and, you know, just generally making a mess of things. And so Jesus starts talking to his disciples. First, instead of publicizing everything to everyone all at once, he starts talking to his disciples, his core group. Jesus does address all the crowds sometimes, but sometimes he also addresses his followers, his devoted inner core of 12. Sometimes he only addresses his even further specified inner core of 3, Peter, James, and John, but sometimes he addresses 12, and sometimes he addresses everyone who's there. Maybe they're all disciples or followers in general. Maybe they're just kind of there to listen to him. Sometimes his enemies are there. Sometimes it's just a crowd of neutral people. In all these circumstances, there are different ways of interpreting this. However, despite the crowds, Jesus takes time to address just his personal 12 and say, "Hey, here's some rules I need to establish with you guys, okay? Be on your guard, firstly, against the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." What does that mean? So the Pharisees, if you remember, are an elite religious group who have their own ideas and their own goals and their own ways of talking about God. In fact, they're kind of messed up because, as you remember back in chapter 11, they're laying rules, such as the washing of hands, which are not in the Old Testament. They're laying rules that God did not lay. They're specifying things that God did not specify. They're passing laws to force people into obedience to man. Instead of working on obeying God, they're pushing people to obey them. And instead of working on obeying God themselves, they're really listing their own laws. Again, they tithe properly, they give a tenth properly, but they don't follow justice and love. That's an issue because those are core things of God. All of those are important, but justice and love especially are core to God's being, and yet what's happening? There's nothing. There's nothing there. They're dirty on the inside, clean on the outside, looking good, but inwardly corrupt. And that's the thing. That's what the Pharisees are known for. They speak a lot of good stuff, and then they come around, and then they're ultimately just hypocrites who are kind of trashy people, honestly. And so be on your guard against that, against hypocrisy, because the things that are done on the inside are going to be the things that are done on the outside. Jesus is different than other religious leaders of this day. Jesus is different than other religious groups of this day. And sometimes other religious groups even going until today, like the modern day, Jesus is different because he's anti-hypocrisy. And so he says, look, there's nothing that's covered that won't be uncovered, right? There's nothing that's hidden that won't stay hidden. That will stay hidden. Sorry, that would be the opposite of what he said. There is nothing that is sneaky now that it will continue to be in stealth later, okay? And even the private conversations that you have, those are going to be public record. What's interesting is in the Gospels, in all four of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll have conversations between Jesus and the apostles, or the disciples at this point. You'll have conversations between Jesus and the 12. Personal conversations. Conversations in which they don't look very good, actually. Conversations in which two of them want to burn down an entire village because that village didn't want Jesus to stay there. Conversations in which Peter corrected Jesus because Jesus was an idiot and he doesn't know what he's talking about. Conversation, like, you have all these problems. And Jesus is telling them, guess what, guys? All your problems, all these private conversations we've had, they're going to become part of the public record because we are not going to be a people who hide the truth and hide what really happened. In fact, we're going to be people who are very truthful, truthful to a fault. We are going to be people who say these things. We're going to be these people who don't hide anything. Instead of Pharisees, instead of other religions, instead of like all of these other different groups and individuals who hide what's true behind what's kind of not as true or not the full picture of truth, we are not going to be them. We are going to be better. And so I'm sorry you're going to look bad in front of everybody else for all of time, but nothing that happens in the dark, whatever you've said in the dark, whatever you've said in private to me, that's going to get aired. We want to err on the side of caution. We want to be upfront and truthful with these people instead of hiding these things. One thing that Christianity encourages, one thing that Christianity, the Christian system encourages, is people to be legitimate people instead of, you know, hiding our failures. A lot of people don't do this. A lot of people try to hide where they're wrong and where they've done evil and all sorts of stuff like that. Jesus encourages us not to. Jesus encourages us to be legitimate about things because the fact is we are all sinners. We have all messed up. We have all done a bunch of evil stuff. None of us understands God perfectly. None of us follows God perfectly. And the more we can clarify that for other people, it's not that I'm better than you and so I'll teach you the way of truth. It is that I'm worthless too, and you're messed up too, and we can work towards God together. That's what Christianity's about, right? That's what being in a church is about. And a lot of people don't get that. A lot of, I'll admit it, a lot of church-going people don't get that. A lot of church-going people think that we are better than everyone else because we go to church and we listen to Jesus and the world doesn't, and so we're better off. And that is true, we are better off, but a lot of people use that to punch down at those people. Jesus is not about that. No, no, you guys have messed up too. And everybody's going to know it because they're also going to know that God forgives and God pardons. God is merciful. That's something that's key. That's something that's super important for us to consider. And so, hey, whatever you have said, it's going to be part of the record. Jesus clarifies that here. Christians are going to be non-hypocritical people. If you run across someone who is a hypocrite, who's saying a bunch of the right things and then doing the wrong ones, if they're in church and they're you know, saying all the nice things and then they get out in the world after that and start being a nasty person, guess what? That person probably isn't a true Christian. Maybe that's a way that we Christians need to test ourselves. Is what I'm living up to what I'm saying? Because there are more important things in life than just how you look on the outside. There are more important things in life than how you act when you're around a certain group of people. In fact, the most important thing in life is to live your life legitimately before God, and that's exactly what Jesus moves on to. I nailed that transition. When you look at Luke 12, start reading in verse 4. I say to you, my friends, don't fear those who kill the body, because after that, they can't do anything more. Don't fear those who kill the body, and after that can do nothing more. But I will show you the one to fear. Fear him who has authority to throw people into hell after death. Yes, I say to you, this is the one to fear. Now, aren't five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, right? Yet not one of them is forgotten in God's sight. Indeed, the hairs of your head are all counted, so don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I say to you, you friends, okay, right, you're scared right now because you don't get to be hypocrites. You don't get to be like the Pharisees. You have to be legitimate. You have to be honest. You have to be vulnerable about how you've messed up and how you've done evil and the fact that you're not a very good person either, okay? You guys have to be vulnerable. Well, I don't want to do that. That's painful. Okay, you know what's more painful? Facing God in the wrong way. Don't fear those who can kill the body, okay? There are going to be a lot of people in this life who do not like Christians. And for centuries, there have even been many persecutions of Christians as different religious groups calling themselves Christians have tried to eliminate true Christians. Many societies, many cultures, many empires have gone after Christians because we stand for God. We stand for something higher. And so, you know, if an evil wants to take over, we're the first ones to go because we say no to the evil. I say to you, friends, don't fear those people. Because what can an evil empire ultimately do? It can kill you. It can remove you from the world. Like, that's a legitimate thing that can happen. And it has happened to many Christians over the years. They can kill you. And after that, guess what? That's it. Okay, you die, and that's it. Because human beings cannot affect your eternal soul. But God can, okay? God can. God has the authority and the ability to do whatever he wants to with your soul. And so when you're living life on this earth, it's very tempting for us to live life according to this earth and live life for this earth. But if you do that, you've wasted your opportunity. If you do that, if you live life for the other human beings that are here, guess what? Okay? Your life is going to end. Other human beings are going to end. This world is going to end. And at the end of the day, when you die, what do you have that you can take with you? Nothing. Nothing except your soul. That's an important concept. There's nothing you can keep with you from this earth. And so you need to stop investing in the things of this earth and start investing in the things of God. That's more important. That's more important for you to deal with. There are a lot of people who stake their lives on money and who surrender themselves to money or fame or power or whatever it is on this world, and they make it pretty big, and everybody knows their name, and everybody knows that they have a lot of money, and, you know, they have a lot of money, and so they're well provided for on this earth, and all of these various blessings on earth. And while it is, you know, it is a blessing to have money, that's just fair. It's a blessing to be provided for. It's a blessing to have enough. Like, all of these things are good, right? We can recognize that. All of these things are good. But what? What does it profit you if you've gotten all that stuff, but you didn't get God? The fact is, there are a lot of people, even Christians today, even people who claim the name of Christ today, who go by the title of Christian, who go and sit in churches, there are a lot of people who give themselves to God, theoretically, but they don't actually. There are a lot of people who look good on the outside. A lot of people who've washed the outside of the cup and the dish. A lot of Pharisaic people who look really good and look really godly, but on the inside, they're living for man. They're living for this world. They're not living for the next. A Christian doesn't get that opportunity. Someone who's going to be a true follower of Christ, and there's a distinction, right? You can have the name of Christian and not be a true follower of Christ. Our goal is to be true followers, not just merely considered Christians by other people. We are called to a higher standard, a standard of no hypocrisy, a standard of being legitimate people, a standard of being truthful. And that means we can't compromise on what Jesus has said. That means we can't compromise on the teachings of the Bible. That means we can't compromise in our personal lives. We have to teach right, and then we have to actually live it out and do it right. That means we have to be the examples that Jesus has left us to be. It's not all doom and gloom, right? Five birds are sold for 2 pennies. In this economy, it's probably like 5 pennies at this point. But, you know, birds are not very valuable. I almost said invaluable, but that's totally the opposite of what I meant to say. Birds are not very valuable. But guess what? God made all of them, and he knows all of them. Hairs, individual hair follicles, are not very valuable. And yet, guess what? God put all of your hair exactly where it is. Okay? God cares about you. God doesn't want to have to put you in hell after you die. Hell is the idea of separation from God. Hell is the idea of an eternal separation where we've pushed God away so far in this life that he lets us do whatever we want to, and he lets us go, and he puts us in an area where we can continue doing whatever we want to, but we've lost that relationship with him, which is the only thing that matters. That's what hell is. God doesn't want to have to let people choose that. But unfortunately, many people choose it just outright because they don't like who Jesus is. Many people choose it outright because they don't want to follow Jesus. Many choose it outright because they question everything about Jesus and never listen to any of the evidence. Many people choose it kind of accidentally because they're more concerned about the things of this world than they are the things of God. But I say to you, you need to fear God. God is more important. And even if people hate you on this earth, if you're with God, you're way better off in the end. Christians have historically been persecuted quite often. Christians have historically been targeted by various empires and evil forces. Christians have often been the target of Jewish persecution and then Roman persecution and then, you know, various other things throughout the history and throughout the years. But guess what? even though that's been the case before, even though that is the case in many current places in the world, even though that may well be the case in even the United States of America, who'd have thought it, even in the next few years, even though that may well start being the case, you see the inklings of it already. It's only going to get worse from here. But even though that's the case, we must fear God rather than men. That's what Christians are built on. That's what Jesus builds Christianity on, is the fact that even though things are bad here, you're looking forward to something else. How do we know that something else exists? Well, you see his miracles. How do we know that all those blessings are coming? You see the promises that he gives. You see the divine backing that all of his actions have at this time. That's a promise. Those are given as a promise that there will be more in the future. And so Jesus offers those opportunities. Hey, how do you deal with this world? Leave this world behind. Okay, stop caring about the things of this world. Stop caring about your physical reputation. Stop caring about how other people think of you. Stop caring about how the government talks about you. Stop caring about all this societal nonsense. Start following God. And no matter what happens, stick with him, because he cares about you and he's going to take care of you eternally. Don't lose that. That's the job of Christians, as best I can distill it. You need to follow God and not give up on God. You need to follow God and keep pushing towards him. You need to follow God above all else, because he's the one who's important. And so I say to you, in verse 8, anyone who acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. Whoever denies me before others will be denied before the angels of God. And that's really, really what we have to deal with, isn't it? There's more to that passage, more than I want to get into. I don't want to drag this episode out forever. And so we're going to stop there and leave you thinking, right? That's what Christianity is about. Maybe you believe it. Maybe you don't. I don't know if you're a Christian or if you're non-Christian just getting introduced to this for the first time. Either way, here's what's happening. Either way, here's what's going on. These are the terms and conditions that Jesus has set. If you want to be God's, you need to be God's even if the world hates you. If you don't want to be God's, you don't get the benefits of being God's. If you want to be God's, if you dedicate yourself to him, even though the world turns against you and you're persecuted, if you stay faithful, you have a variety, a multitude of benefits and blessings that stem from that. If you stay faithful, and if you take his name out before other people. That's the call of Christianity. There's a lot more to it. There are a lot more nuances, and then how things eventually play out. There's always more to cover. There's always more to say. And yet, those are the essentials of Christianity. You need to care about God more than you care about public opinion or society or culture or whatever is going on around you. If you care more about God, that's going to go well. If you don't care more about God, it's going to go poorly. That's the promise he makes. He's given many miracles to back up the words that he's saying. And so I leave it to you. If you want the assurances of God and a life forevermore, you probably need to listen when he gives out his commands for how to live. That's the message that Jesus is proclaiming. That's the message of Christianity, is that we've got a higher calling. We need to obey God. Despite what human beings say, we need to obey the Lord. Now you know a little bit more. Now you've seen a little bit more. Whether you're Christian or non-Christian, whatever, hopefully you're understanding a little bit more about what Christianity is. So thank you for listening to this point, if you're still here. I really appreciate it. I hope that it's beneficial to you. I hope that you get some enjoyment out of it and that it's fun along the way, but I hope that you learn something and are able to use it wisely. God bless, and I will see you next time.